श्रुत्वा स्थूलं तथा सूक्ष्मं रूपं भगवतो यति स्थूले निर्जितं आत्मानं शनैः सूक्ष्मं धिया नयेदिति श्रुत्। Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: one who is interested in liberation, who accepts the path of liberation and is not attracted to the path of conditional life, is called yati or a devotee. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Roop, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of the Lord, of Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, after hearing of both the forms. Thus one's mind is fixed in samadhi. By devotional service, one can thus realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. Thus his life becomes successful. Purport: it is said, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktehe. If one wants to progress on the path of liberation, he should associate with Mahatmas or liberated devotees, because in such association there is a full chance for hearing, describing and chanting about the name, form, qualities and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of which are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. On the path of bondage, one eternally undergoes the repetition of birth and death. One who desires liberation from such bondage should join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and thus take advantage of the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees and also explain it to propagate Krishna consciousness. Translation once again. One who is interested in liberation, who accepts the path of liberation and is not attracted to the path of conditional life, is called yati or a devotee. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Roop, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna after hearing of both forms. Thus one's mind is fixed in samadhi. By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. Thus his life becomes successful. So here, after explaining about the hellish planets, as Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring from Shukadev Goswami, many questions, right in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that how is this creation, how is this living entity fallen into this material existence, even though it is transcendental? Who is the creator? How did he create? What are the various creations of the Supreme Lord? Who are the various demigods? What are their functions? And he asks everything very, very scientifically. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that a devotee is not sentimental. He very, very scientifically inquires about the creation of this material existence, and a systematic approach to the path of liberation from this material existence, because Krishna consciousness is a science. We have to start science by its systematic process. We cannot just enter into the intermediate path without understanding the preliminary basics. So here, in answer to Parikshit Maharaj's queries, Shukadev Goswami is giving various narrations about the creation of the Lord and then the various descriptions of the planets in this creation. So we see that this whole narration of the Srimad Bhagavatam is based upon inspiration. I was inspired to talk about this small topic of inspiration in Krishna consciousness, because the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is a result of ongoing inspiration. Shukdev Goswami is inspired to see the attitude of Parikshit Maharaj to continue to completely dedicate his 7 days, the seven precious days of his life, the last days of his life, to hearing and chanting. Usually, a person about to die would think of so many other things to do, but Parikshit Maharaj has just focused one thing, just hearing. Nothing else but hearing. Usually, at one given point of time, would like to accomplish many tasks, especially before death, because so many things we have to overcome this great hurdle. So one might think we need a multi-pronged efforts to overcome this the greatest obstacle. So Parikshit Maharaj has complete faith and is inspired, and by his inspiration to ask various queries about the science of Godhead, Shukdev Goswami is becoming doubly inspired. At some point of time, just to maintain the inspiration of both of them, both of them are inspiring each other. Shukdev Goswami is congratulating Parikshit Maharaj. Glorious are your questions, which are for the benefit of the whole mankind. And Parikshit Maharaj is inspiring Shukdev Goswami. Please continue your narration, for I am not tired. Because I am drinking the nectar of Hari Katha from your lotus mouth, therefore I am becoming very much inspired. So in this way, we see that inspiration in life of a devotee is extremely important. And therefore, it is said, the psychological process, Prabhupada explains in the purport, the psychological process of thinking, willing and feeling is called impetus. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions in chapter 18, text number 18, he speaks about that before the action takes place, there has to be a psychological process of thinking, willing and feeling and willing. And then this impetus is called as inspiration. And in the life of a devotee, the inspiration comes from the scripture or from the instruction of the spiritual master. Without inspiration, we can hardly achieve anything in devotional service. Why do we lose inspiration? The very fact that we do something repetitively makes the whole process hackneyed, stereotype, and we don't feel much enthusiasm continuing that process. Just like people are working in their job, they are not going very inspiringly to the job, that I'm going to accomplish something very dramatic today. Oh, it's just one another day. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, this sadhana bhakti, the limbs of sadhana bhakti, could become like a job. Like, the karmi wakes up at 7 o'clock. Now he plans his schedule to catch his train, then goes to plan his day's activities. Similarly, we may plan our day's activities and might go into the routine of Krishna consciousness. And then, because we simply go through the externals of the process of Krishna consciousness, we begin to lose that inspiration. And therefore, Dananda Das Goswami Maharaj was explaining in one of his classes that sometimes even chanting, talking about Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness can become a job. Oh, now I have to go for a program. I have to do so many things. I have to speak in a particular way. And I have to come back. Getting a job done. So, job means doing those things but not being there. And therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to be Krishna conscious. The whole externals of this Krishna consciousness, the process of sadhana bhakti, is meant to bring to a state of consciousness where we can always remember Krishna. So, Sometimes we see that there is so many subcultures within this movement. There is a dress code, there is a particular philosophy, there is a certain way of social etiquette that we deal with devotees. And all of these things become like a subculture, and the real process of Bhakti Yoga is to please Krishna. That point goes in the background. And therefore the means to Krishna becomes the end. We say generally that means and the ends are the same, right? But if the means are taken to be the end, then that is not very conducive for the practice of bhakti. The means are meant to reach us to the end, the destination here, which is explained that the path of liberation reaches us to the realizing the supreme, the spiritual form of the Supreme Lord. So, like if you see San Francisco, the city's name is San Francisco, but hardly did we know that this city was named after Saint Francis of Assisi. How many people would say San Francisco and remember the teachings and the ideals and the character of Saint Francis of Assisi? So we might go through the whole, we have so many jargon in Krishna consciousness and still not be conscious of that. So we have to be inspired to be alive in Krishna consciousness. A devotee must feel the need to be inspired just as a child, a kid, wants to grow. The kid is not happy as a kid. He always is seeing his elder, brothers, sisters, and wants to become like them. When will I be able to play? When will I be able to speak like them? When I will be able to take responsibilities like them? Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, devotees must feel the inspiration to grow. And in this process, devotee undergoes a kind of a turbulence between two kind of emotions. One guided by the mode of passion and other guided by the mode of ignorance. The mode of passion leads one to be inspired very much, but if the desired results do not come, it ends with frustration. And ignorance means to think that everything is all right. Everything is okay. I need not endeavor for extra passion, for extra endeavor. And therefore, one point we become burnt out by engaging intensely too much beyond our capacity and we burnt ourselves. And the second is that we become complacent. And therefore, a devotee has to strike balance between self-acceptance and self-improvement. Self-acceptance means, oh, this is what I am. This is where I am. But I don't want to be in this place. I want to go this destination. And that will keep us the drive to be inspired, to go ahead. And self-improvement means we are always trying to improve within ourselves. So we see that how in the scriptures Prabhupada is also mentioning that this inspiration comes from the Supreme Lord Himself. In fact, one of very nice sections in the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the concluding words which Srila Prabhupada writes are very, very significant to understand this phenomenon of inspiration. We have understood the need for inspiration now. Where to derive this inspiration? Where are the sources of inspiration? So Prabhupada is saying that I met my spiritual master Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then I was induced to translate books. I had taken sannyas. So Prabhupada mentions, in the meantime I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time after life, His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace AC and Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradyumna Das Adhikari, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jaidvaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing and publishing all these literatures. I think that His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by His words. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Rida Adi Kavaye, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1, spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master, because personally I am the most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. Certainly, if His Divine Grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though He is not physically present at this time, I am confident that He is very much pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna Consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada clearly explains where this inspiration comes from. The Lord within the heart and by the words of our spiritual master, the spiritual master. And Prabhupada says that I have no credit in this, making this huge impossible work to be done. And therefore a devotee continues to remain inspired if he does not take credit. As soon as he takes credit, what happens is that he is soon by the success and the failure of that service, and either he becomes jubilant when everything is going nice, but he becomes immediately despondent when nothing goes his way, because he thinks himself to be the doer and then blames himself or praises himself for the success. So Hanumanji shows a very fantastic attitude of how to give credit to Vaishnavas, to the Guru. So it is explained that when Sri Hanumanji leaped for Lanka, before he leaped for Lanka, he told all the Vanaras, all the monkey soldiers, please stay till I come back. All the Vanaras were very confident that Hanuman would be able to execute that task and would come back successfully, and thought that they would go back to Sugriva and Lord Ram and tell them that Hanumanji is coming with a message. He is going to do his task and complete his mission. But Hanumanji say, you stay back. Because Hanuman knew that when he would come back, then he would give this news of that victory of his mission, meeting Sita Devi and giving the message of Lord Ram, and coming back and informing all the Vanaras that we have succeeded in our mission. He didn't say that I have succeeded in my mission, but we have succeeded in our mission. Therefore, a devotee is never thinking that I am... He knows that his endeavor is simply a collective inspiration from the other devotees who are helping him in this endeavor. And therefore, he is not alone inspired to do that service. He has been inspired by the association of the devotees. And therefore, this inspiration, when we have this attitude of giving the credit to the devotees, then we can take the shelter of the association of devotees. To the degree we take the credit, we take the whole share, to that much degree we will not find the importance of the association of devotees around us. And therefore Hanumanji said, we'll all go together and inform Lord Ram. And then it will not be that I have done that service, but we all have done that service. So, Srila Prabhupada says that I am not a very learned scholar. Imagine, Prabhupada saying this after translating all the purports, word to word, Sanskrit translation, Sanskrit to English. And once Gurudas Prabhu was telling Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada actually, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is my second favorite author. So, actually he loved Bhakti Vinod Thakur's writings and poems and writings, but actually he did not want to transgress by saying that I is my most favorite author. So Prabhupada said, second? Prabhupada, yes. Prabhupada said, if I would be even 1/10 of what Bhakti Vinod Thakur is, then I would be such a great pure devotee. And therefore he said that I am not in comparison to my previous predecessor acharyas. I am not even a fraction of what my previous acharyas are. And this shows the character of a Vaishnava who never feels himself to be qualified even when he is very much qualified. The qualification of humility is that even though one is very much qualified, he feels himself completely disqualified. And this is how we see in the dealings of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami approaching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here we see Srila Prabhupada is saying that one must take the advantage of the opportunity of the association of the devotees. Because in the association of devotees, we will remain to be inspired. So, as we are approaching the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the episode of Ajamil, Prabhupada in one of these classes throws a very nice light on this point of being inspired in the association of devotees. So Prabhupada says that when Ajamil saw the Yamdutas and he was saved by the Vishnudutas, he thought that his life was completely full of sinful activities. So how I could be worthy of being seeing such great personalities? How could I have the darshan of these great personalities? Perhaps in my previous life I did something good, and as a result I have obtained to allow to see the Vishnudutas, the servants of Lord Narayan. But Srila Prabhupada says, it is not by his previous life pious activities, it is the result of his association of devotees in this life. It is in the association of good, the good association that Ajamil had been blessed with in his early days, was that which saved him. And therefore Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kahe, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. And Prabhupada says that because of that one moment of association with devotees and saintly persons, as he was being trained in his previous life as a Brahmana, was that he was inspired to name his son as Narayan. It was not just a happening, it was not just a coincidence that his son's name was named Narayan, and he just chanted the name of his son Narayan. The whole process of naming his son Narayan was inspiration in the association of devotees, and he was inspired to name his son Narayan. And therefore Prabhupada says, how sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matah smritir gyanam apohanam cha, that Krishna is seated in everyone's heart and he is the source of all remembrance and forgetfulness. And therefore, Lord is very kind that even if a devotee renders a little service to him, Krishna recognizes and reciprocates with that devotee. And Prabhupada, once Govind Prabhu was mentioning this very nice pastime, which took place in the Mahabharata, where the decisive war between Arjun and Karna was taking place. Arjuna was fighting with Karna, and Karna also has celestial weapons. As they were fighting, this weapons of which Arjuna was shooting is to hit Karna's chariot and made that chariot fly away for large distance. And Karna would come back, fight, again shoot his arrows, and he would shoot at Arjuna's chariot, and that chariot would move a little 2-3 feet behind. So this happened again and again. And then Krishna started laughing and smiling and then started praising Karna. Well done, well done. You have pushed the chariot of Arjuna quite back. Very nice. Arjuna was becoming confused. I am pushing Karna's chariot way behind, miles, and it is just that he is pushing a little bit of that distance behind, and Krishna is praising Karna. How is that? So Arjuna, out of perplexity, asks Krishna, are you bent on demoralizing me by praising my enemy at this crucial juncture, which is the deciding factor in this war? Because if I win, the Pandavas win. If I lose, the Pandavas lose. Why are you demoralizing me? And Krishna smiled and said, Arjuna, just see, I am simply marveling the prowess of Karna's expertise. That even though I am seated on the chariot, I personally, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seated on the chariot, he is still able to push your chariot by 2-3 feet back. That means, if I wouldn't have been here, Arjuna, just imagine what would be your state. Probably you would not have come back to return that, return the weapons, or give a good fight. And that's what, and this is a fantastic commentary by Shripad Madhvacharya, who says that, similarly, in Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga and Dwapara Yuga, it was very easy to practice Krishna consciousness. The environment was favorable, the situation was favorable. But in Kali Yuga, everything is against us. As Jananivas and Pankajangri Prabhu say, every molecule, every atom is against us. Right in the morning, we wake up and everything is against us. The whole material nature is against us. And if a devotee, not to become like Karna, but like Karna, If he fights and gives a good fight and still pushes a Maya a little back, Krishna becomes very happy. Krishna becomes very pleased. And seeing that endeavor of the devotee to push Maya a little back, Krishna gives him the remembrance, the knowledge and the inspiration. And this is how he gets more strength. And that's how Prabhupada says that, therefore the Lord within the heart gave Ajamil to name his youngest son Narayan, so that in affection he would call his younger son Narayan and thus be saved from the fearful and the dangerous condition. And Prabhupada says, such is the mercy of Krishna. Krishna's mercy did not come after he chanted the name of Narayan. Krishna's mercy came before he chanted the name of Narayan by inspiring him to name his son as Narayan and then calling out his name with affection. And therefore, he was not just casually calling out the name of Narayan. He was calling with affection. And therefore, Prabhupada says that Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lata Beach. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore change a devotee's name to one that reminds him of Vishnu. If at a time of death, the devotee can remember his own name, right? We are very much fond of, you know, if someone calls our name, we become very happy. So Krishna says, okay, you don't call my name also, but if you remember your own name, such as Krishna Das or Govinda Das, then he can be saved from the greatest danger. Therefore, the change of names at the time of initiation is essential. The Krishna consciousness movement is so meticulous that it gives one good opportunity to remember Krishna somehow or other. Therefore, Prabhupada says that, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we are so sinful, how can we get relieved of our sinful reactions, of our karma of previous lives? Prabhupada did not mention any shastra, did not quote any scripture. Prabhupada said, come and live with us. That's all. Come and live with us in the association of devotees and then everything will be taken care of. And if you think that everything will not be taken care of, just see. These devotees are staying in the best houses. They are having the best food. They are having the best process. They are having the best hope. And therefore, there is no danger. And that is why Srila Prabhupada established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, by which everyone is given a chance to associate with devotees. And in this way, reawaken his dormant Krishna consciousness. So we see that this inspiration continues, and there is something that we need to pay the price for this inspiration. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, explains very nicely what is the price or how we can develop this kind of inspiration. So here Brahmaji, in the second canto, is explained how he is born on that lotus flower. And before anything he comes to know is that he is completely bewildered. The first created living entity in this world is a bewildered living entity. Right? And therefore, at no point of time there could be any understanding that, you know, there is something apart from this bewilderment. So what Brahmaji saw is complete darkness, complete illusion. And then when Brahmaji started, first of all he was bewildered, he started to search out the source of his seat. He was inquisitive to find out why I'm in darkness. And therefore, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we know the philosophy, we know the basics. I'm not this body, I'm the spirit soul. We have fallen down because we have rebelled against the Supreme Lord. And Ridhananda Maharaj says that in the life of a devotee, sometimes everything becomes hackneyed. Even philosophy, even convictions, they also become stereotype. And it becomes like a regular feature that we start, you know, it comes natural. It is like a mechanical thing sometimes. And therefore, it is said that a devotee must, even if he has spent 20, 30 years in Krishna consciousness, he must always strive to begin afresh, as if he was a new student, as if he was a new devotee. If you remember, at least I remember my previous days coming to Krishna consciousness in the early days, enthusiastic for everything, enthusiastic for service, very, very grateful, very, very inquisitive, submissive. But over a period of time, as you become accustomed to a particular thing, you feel that I'm accomplished in this. I do not come back again and do the same things. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is asking the same questions again and again. Why? So that he wants to refresh his memory, refresh his consciousness again and again. So a devotee must always refresh. I am a new devotee now. I must start again. I must know the basics. I must contemplate on the basics. And therefore, the whole story begins of the bewilderment of the living entity by that he has come in this material world. The bewilderment is there in this material creation. And Prabhupada mentions the cause for this bewilderment. Prabhupada says that this spirit soul is completely different from this material conception of life, but is absorbed in this material energy because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. And how that influence of the external energy comes? By one independent desire. One independent desire to become independent as the Lord Himself. The independence, the minute independence is given to the living entity to dovetail his independence to serve the Lord, but he uses that minute independence to become independent as the Lord Himself. And therefore he wants to become the king without having the qualifications or the competence of a king. And Prabhupada mentions that the living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like him. And as soon as that will comes, therefore the first sinful will of the living entity to become the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia where he may become one like the Lord. So Krishna arranges for the living entity, and a secondary will is that of the Lord, by which he puts that devotee, puts that devotee, we are all devotees in the spiritual world, puts that devotee in the dreamlike state where he thinks he is the Lord. And Prabhupada says Fantastic analogy. Just like a child cries for the moon. But the mother knows, you can't get the moon. So what does the mother do? Mother brings a mirror in front of the child and allows the moon to reflect in that mirror and tells the child, here is the moon, take it. Similarly, the living entity is given this material world to lord it over, like a karmi, Prabhupada says. And then in this dream state, he thinks that this is, I am this, or falsely thinks that he is the lord and everything in connection with the material body is his. So this is the basic cause. Because we have to trace the history, why we have come to this material world. And if we trace this path back, then we can go home back to the spiritual world. And that is why Brahmaji is searching the root cause, is searching the source from where he has come. And this inquisitiveness leads him to, because of his intense eagerness, the Lord reciprocates within his heart and the words come. He was as performing this search, the Lord, he could hear the two words, syllables called as tapa. And he heard two times, tapa, tapa. And as soon as he heard, he did not try to speculate or did not try to give it a, this must be some kind of background or something like that, some fault. But he took that words very seriously because that was the only thing that available at that time. And he heard this word and he heard this tapa and started executing the penances. This is the readiness of a devotee. As soon as he is inspired, he is ready to act upon that inspiration. Because he has complete faith in the sound vibration that is coming. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is nothing but a connection call back to the Supreme Lord, given by the Supreme Lord himself. And therefore, Prabhupada was once asked by one devotee, how can we pull ourselves from this Maya? Prabhupada said, as soon as the mind drags you away from the chanting, drag the mind back to the chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So this is how the Lord reciprocates the sound vibration as Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are not different from the Lord themselves, because the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam are as good as the Lord themselves. And therefore, Brahmaji continued the tapasya with great determination. Right? And then, as soon as he performed this meditation for 1,000 celestial demigod years, he could immediately realize that the Lord was pleased with him and the Lord appeared in front of Brahmaji. And the Lord showed him the complete spiritual world, his spiritual form. And finally, Prabhupada says that Brahmaji did not perform this tapasya for sake to become the creator. He took on this tapasya simply to please the Supreme Lord. And therefore, that is the difference in tapasya between the yogis and the karmis and the devotees. Devotees do not perform some kind of tapasya for any other cause than to please the Supreme Lord. Finally, when the Lord appeared, and Prabhupada says, wonderful, and seeing Brahma present before him, the Lord accepted him to be worthy to create living beings, to be controlled as he desired, and thus being much satisfied with him, the Lord shook hands with Brahma, and slightly smiling, addressed him as thus. So not only that Brahma just created this material universe, but he has taken the responsibility of delivering the living entities within this material universe. And therefore, Prabhupada says that Brahma does also his duty very perfectly, not only by generating the living entities, but also by spreading his party for reclaiming the fallen souls. Prabhupada says the party is called Brahma Sampradaya. And any member of this party to date is naturally engaged in reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead, back home. The Lord is very anxious to get back his part and parcels, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, and no one is more dear to him than one who takes the task of reclaiming the fallen souls back to Godhead. And then Prabhupada says, anyone, however, preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord, and the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. This is Prabhupada's conviction that anyone who follows in this line of Brahma Sampradaya is ready to execute the austerity, the tapasya of practicing this devotional service and giving it to others, ultimately is allowed to shake hands with the Supreme Lord. And that's what is said here, that as soon as one comes, as soon as he reaches his destination, then his life becomes successful. So this is the success for a devotee, to perform this tapasya, deriving great inspiration, and to maintain that inspiration, developing non-attachment for temporary material desires. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Madan Gopal Prabhu. Balde Prabhu. Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.